It's time once again for Insight with Jack Sogler on the Horton Recovery Internet Radio. Insight with Jack Sogler is being brought to you by the community-minded sponsors you're going to hear during today's broadcast. Without further ado, here's your host, Mr. Jack Sogler.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to Insight on this chilly January Wednesday evening. Our first show of 2025,
whichever way you want to say it.
Hello, Mr. Neal.
How you doing, Jack?
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you.
Rocker.
Jack.
Fantastic seeing everybody again. We had a little break here for the last couple of weeks.
Yep.
But we're back in the swing of things.
Yeah, with the Christmas show on the 10th and a little early, we did have an insight, but that got kind of messed up, and no sports talk the following week, and then the next one was Christmas night, then New Year's night, so we didn't do that, and here we are.
We're back.
New Year, and off we go.
And we're back with a bang as we welcome into studio Mr. Tony Stahl, who's superintendent of Port Recovery Local Schools. Hello, Tony.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me tonight.
Hey.
If I'd have known this was the first show of 2025, though, I might have declined. This is a lot of pressure sitting on 2025.
Yeah.
I mean, this is big.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for having me, though. I'll try my best here.
Jack said, watch what I do to him and make him squirm.
Yeah. Well, just know that after tonight, you will have both the best show of the year and the worst show of the year.
That's true. Be the top and bottom of the charts, right, afterwards.
So, Tony, I tell you what, one of the things that we want to talk about is, I think in December, maybe late November, the school came out with their culture and commitment guide. And I'd like to talk about the development of that and exactly what that entails. But let's just start with how's the school year going?
Sure. Yeah. No. Great so far. I mean, halfway point. We right before break, we're finishing up exams and kind of right now, students, especially in the high school in particular, are getting their new semester two schedules kind of finalized and moved around a little bit. And some of those semester or quarter classes are changing over. So a little bit of a transition period as we get back into it. But yeah, the first half in the books, very, very successful. Really smooth so far. Yeah. There's always kinks you got to work out, but very happy with how things are going in halfway through year two here.
So how do you decide when you break it into that? I mean, when you say successful first half of the year, what do you base that on?
Well, as a superintendent, it's a lot of things, right? Because I think, obviously teachers have their classrooms and we have a tech department with a couple of guys that, each measurement of success, right, is a little bit different for what department or group you're talking about in a district. And that's actually one of the really interesting parts of being superintendent is that you have kind of a hand in a little bit of all of that, And so I think that your definition of, okay, how do you know you're having a good school year so far? Well, it's kind of managing and working with those individual groups, whether it's, the elementary teachers, the administrative staff, the technology department, our transportation department, food service, and kind of working with those people to, obviously, you got a plan for next year. You got to deal with the things that are happening this year. So I think generally, there's no like scorecard for that, right? It's just kind of like an informal tally as you kind of move through kind of the ebbs and flows of the year, right? Whether it's hiring season or whether it's prepping for the new year or whether it's making sure you got staffing at the beginning of the year to fill your jobs that you need, especially from a classified standpoint. So I think my, gauge of all that, I think, is how I kind of, my conversations with those department heads, my conversations with those building principals. Obviously, a lot of the metrics from like a state report card standpoint and testing and all that stuff's yet to come. We're still working on that. But, there's a lot to be said about, the building's operating smoothly. Kids are getting picked up on time. Our schedules are, on track through lunch and things like that. Things are just running pretty smooth. So as I kind of move through the building and talk about all those operations, that's really how I, if things are going well and smooth, that's good. That success. Okay.
You talked about the you making sure about the staffing piece of it. So from a staffing standpoint, having people in the right places day in and day out much of a challenge, or do you have plenty of subs that you can call in the various positions?
Yeah, I mean, I think substitutes is always a tough thing. You know what I mean? I know our principals do a really nice job, and even our teaching staff and support staff of, like, you know, people calling in sick in the morning and kind of moving some things around, or, you know, hey, I'll watch your class, or give up a prep period, or a principal will jump in and cover a class, yep. Or even our athletic director, you know, everybody is willing to be very, very hands-on. And so that's always a challenge. I hasn't really gotten any better since I've been an administrator in the district. I don't think it's gotten super worse, though, either. It's just always kind of a challenge, particularly for teachers and then classified, like backup janitors or, you know, cafeteria personnel. That's always challenging. So if anybody's interested in that, we're always looking for certified or classified people. Just call the school. We can help you get set up. If you are interested, got a few part-time hours, put a little shameless plug in here if anybody's listening. We're always willing to take people. But I think the other thing of that is, so that's always a challenge, but I also think the other side is, you know, a district like Fort Recovery, I would view it as kind of a destination district. So there's a lot of people that want to be in there and be working and be a part of the school.
Yeah.
So we don't have, I would say, a lot of problems filling jobs. I mean, there's probably some, like, bus drivers. That's obviously kind of your CDL is hard to get. You know, that's across the board, I think, not just for schools. So there are some things like that. But for the most part, you know, we have a lot of candidates, but I think moving them and making sure they're in the right positions. You know, there's always some turnover every year. We have people that start out teaching A and they end up teaching C by the time, you know, 2 or 3 years gone, or maybe they take a different role within the district. So we have always a little bit of that. And I think that's a big part of it. I think we have the people, but always, you know, they come into the district doing one thing and then they might not finish doing that. And that's okay. And I think we kind of help have some conversations and move some people around. But, you know, that's kind of, I call it part of the fun of it. You know, it's kind of an interesting pieces of the puzzle to make it all work. So that for sure happens.
Good. Well, I'll tell you what, we're going to take a real quick break. We're going to come back and talk about the development of the culture and commitment guide and exactly what all went into that and what the gist of it is. So we'll be back right after this.
This is Zoe from Brick Street Tavern, and we have delicious home-cooked daily lunch specials at a great price Monday through Friday. And now we also offer a second cook's choice lunch special every day. We still offer our regular lunch favorites. We start off each week with Mystery Monday, and our special will be something different each week. On Tuesday, it's our meatloaf dinner. Wednesday, it will be our famous three-piece chicken dinner. Thursday, you can get a tenderloin with fries and applesauce. And on Friday, we have our big half-pound cheeseburger with fries and slaw. And now we also offer a second lunch special every day. Check our Facebook page daily to see what our two lunch specials will be. Fast, delicious, home-cooked meals. Lunchtime Monday through Friday here at Brick Street Tavern in downtown Fort Recovery.
At Cooper Farms, family first isn't just a saying. It's our culture.
I like that the company has a value system that I can subscribe to. Things that are important to the organization are also things that are important to me. We have very caring and competent leaders that value family.
Join the family. Apply online at CooperFarms.com. Cooper Farms, more than a workplace.
Hello, I'm Kenny Canute from K&L Tractor Sales in Fort Recovery, Ohio. If you're serious about your lawn, you should get a lawn or garden tractor sold by someone who's dedicated to knowing their products. That's why more and more people are realizing the value in purchasing lawn and garden tractors from a local independent Simplicity dealer like K&L Tractor. We offer test drives, financing plans, service technicians, setup and delivery, and of course, the best tractors and zero-turn mowers made. Simplicity, the way to a beautiful lawn.
The Fort Recovery Community Club's annual Fish Fry is coming up on Saturday, January 11th from 4 to 7 p.m. Stop out at the Progressive Sportsman's Club on St. Peter Road for their famous fish with all the fixins. French fries, coleslaw, baked beans, and more. It's only $12 for all you care to eat, and carryouts will be available, and it's just $7 for kids 8 and under. It's an annual wintertime treat that everybody looks forward to. The Community Club's All-You-Can-Eat Fish Fry at the Progressive Sportsman's Club on Saturday, January 11th from 4 to 7 p.m.
We're back talking to Mr. Tony Stahl, the superintendent of Fort Recovery Local Schools, and you know, the it is probably pretty appropriate that we have you on the first show of the year, because when, like, I think of something like the culture and commitment guide, like, it is almost like a goal setting, establish the path to where you want to go. And I think talking about this at the beginning of a year is pretty appropriate, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, a lot of districts and even companies, organizations have, you know, operations plans or building improvement plans or goals, whatever you want to call it. And so school districts are no different. In fact, I read something the other day. It's like you're 66% more likely to achieve a goal if you write it down, I think, versus, you know, I think that was maybe a New Year's resolution article I read the other day. So just writing it down increases your percentage of accomplishing something very, very dramatically. So, yeah, I think that's basically the general gist of it, right? A culture and commitment guide, district operations plan. Some people call them strategic goals, those kinds of things. It's all kind of the same thing, right? It's a direction for where you want to go. What are the things you want to accomplish over a certain time period? And then list, you know, what we have is kind of some building plans. What are some steps to go achieve those goals at its basic? And we've had something like that. It hasn't always been a culture and commitment guide. It's been something or another over the years, but Larry Brown, previous superintendent, kind of took that culture and commitment guide, tweaked it a little bit with our old operations plan or improvement plan, CIP, continuous improvement plan, and kind of the culture and commitment guide was born, and that's where we're at now. So we kind of revamped it going into the next 3 years.
So, Swack, you touch a little bit on, you know, I think I read on the website where, like, the school system leadership team and some other people kind of got involved in developing this. So you kind of share a little bit about how that occurs.
Sure. No, it's definitely
Let me also ask this. This isn't a brand new thing. You're kind of revamping the thing, updating the thing that's been in.
Yeah. So
is that kind of what it is? It's not reinventing, starting a whole brand new thing.
Yeah. There's not, you know, a different brand change or different, you know, kind of, again, one of the things in that document is our values and behaviors and outcomes chart, or VBO chart. So our values haven't changed as a district. We still have passion to grow, own it, those types of things. So those are in there, but kind of just tweaking the goals to make it a little bit more relevant. I think the previous one was from 2021 to 2024. Mm-hmm. And so the fall of 2024 is when we get our report card data from the previous year. So that was kind of the end point. So we knew going into this year, 2024-25, that it was going to be kind of the end and we would need to relook at it. What did we do well? What didn't we do well? And what might be some new goals for 24 and beyond?
Yeah. So it's not inventing something brand new. It is a continuation and an upgrade or whatever it is. Upgrade isn't necessarily the right word, but
yeah, and that's one of the things we always talk about. Things. At least as an admin team, or even, you know, in a district, maybe to a lesser level, is that we don't want it to be like a paper on the wall, like a document on the wall. We want it to be kind of a moving, changing target, you know. And it's hard because you have, you know, hundreds of people involved, and, you know, hundreds of students, and obviously thousands of parents, and, you know, all that. So it's a lot to keep in track, but you have to have a place to start. You have to have somewhere to start. And so I think we don't want it to be a thing that just sits on the wall. We do once a year and we talk about it. It's something that's always changing. So yeah, it is kind of a retweak, but it might be retweaked a little bit in a couple months at the end of this year, if we like, you know. So I guess that's kind of the general gist of it. We did do it through the district leadership team, which is about, like you mentioned, Jack, it's like 12 to 14 individuals that have various roles in the district, administrators, treasurer, some teachers, classified staff, secretaries, aides, those kinds of things that kind of get together on a regular basis and just discuss district level topics. So, like, just to give you an example, like last year, one of the things that we were working on was our district level planning with the eclipse, you know, and how we were going to kind of handle that. So anything like that kind of pops up, and then obviously they're always pretty instrumental in building our schedule for the next year, kind of looking at that. And then obviously when it comes to the involvement of them with our culture and commitment guide, when it expires, they were very instrumental in kind of giving some feedback. So it started, you know, months ago when we got a board work session. They came in and kind of gave us some feedback with our Board of Education. Then we took that information to our district leadership team, and then that district leadership team put some of that information into a presentation in a survey for our staff members that we then passed out to them. And then we used a day back in February, I guess it'll be February 2024, to get together and go over it with our staff, had some conversations, did a presentation and kind of some work sessions on that, and then took that information from there with the DLT and kind of put it into the document that you see on the website.
And And I'll tell you what, for anybody that wants to take a look at it, it is on the school website, correct?
Yep, correct.
And you just click on, I think there's a tab that says...
district information. Top left. Yep, district information.
And school. It is an easy to read 8-page.
Yep, something like that.
So yeah. It's in English and not legalese? English,
well, and it's easy to read in that it's almost like a magazine type
of kind of like a brochure magazine. Yeah. And we include a lot of pictures of our kids and different things that we do. So it's very much, Fort Recovery centric, which is...
Yeah. I think it kind of starts with, as any business would, kind of like a mission statement type of a thing is somewhat the holy grail, I guess. And you see on the sign out front that to be better today than you were yesterday, and better tomorrow than today.
Yep, yeah. You're exactly right.
And so that is how it somewhat starts.
Yeah, I think that's kind of, because that's the thing, too. There's a lot of things that go into that, right? I don't think there's anybody in our district that could say, well, what are our four main goals? What's our entire mission statement? What are all the values and behaviors? If you ask any one individual, but I think generally what we try to do is kind of cut through all that. Yeah. And I'm not saying we're perfect or we're there yet, but we kind of try to cut through a lot of that and really just focus on, being a little bit better today than we were yesterday. And we're going to be a little bit better tomorrow than we were today. And I think if you have that mantra, if you're a bus driver or a mechanic or a cook or a teacher or the superintendent, if you have 108 staff members and 900 students pulling in that direction, then that's going to be a pretty dang good place by the end. And I think that end is very, very far away. That's kind of the life's work of just moving forward. But I think it's a good mantra for your personal life, but also just generally for the district is what we try to accomplish.
Sure. So this is you've broken down into four main categories, correct?
Correct. Yep. Correct.
Why don't you share those four?
So there's a couple different parts of the culture and commitment guide. So one of them is kind of what Fort Recovery local schools values and kind of what is our definition of culture. And so that was kind of a focus three thing that we started a couple of years ago. And the big kind of main point with that is owning your 20 square feet. So what is your culture? Your culture is the things that you can control, and you can't control things that happen to you, but you can control how you respond to them, kind of your response. And so that 20 square feet of our culture is what are you doing in your 20 square feet? What can you control and what can you focus on and not worry about things? So that kind of, there's a part in there about that. All right. It kind of talks a little bit about what that is, gives some definitions, and then it moves into the VBO, which is our values, what we value as a district, and then what are the behaviors that we show to show those values, or that we execute or do to show those values. That's a document in there. And then it moves into the largest section, which is our district goals. And those are the four sections that kind of break it down. And the first one's academic achievement, obviously an academic achievement goal. Very, very big for a school, obviously. And then culture and climate, student engagement, and fiscal accountability are kind of the four main areas.
So, and then each of those are somewhat broken down into different goals, I guess.
Yep.
Under each of those.
Yep. There's a couple of sub goals, because obviously, just to give you an example, so like academic achievement, right? So, as a district, we'd like to be a 5-star district. So that's okay. That's nice. That's a good goal, right? It's on paper. It sounds, fancy. It's good. But that means a lot of different things. That's there's a literacy component, right? That you can get 5 stars up down to 1 star for literacy component, and that's judged on a 3rd grade test. So that's very much an elementary specific thing. There's also a component that's college and career, workforce, military readiness. And so they judging, the state judging, scoring, however you want to say that. That component of how many of our seniors are leaving with checking the box for one of those things. And so obviously that's a very high school thing. So yeah, it makes a lot of sense. All right, as a district, we want to be 5 stars, and that's important. But then each building kind of generally working on academic achievement, right? We're teaching reading, writing, math, science, all that stuff. But there is a little bit of a different flavor for what maybe is focused, whether it's literacy in the K-3 arena or maybe college career readiness in the high school. And so that's where it kind of diverges and gets a little bit different.
And it seems like as a grandparent or as a guy that attends the basketball games, or that there's been a lot of emphasis and you see it on Facebook or whatever, on the student engagement piece.
Yeah.
Like you're trying to get kids involved in either, if not participating, at least attending as many events as you can.
Sure, sure. We'd like them to be connected somehow. You know, and I think, like you said, best case scenario, they join a team, they get on the choir, they join a club, you know, something like that to be kind of connected to the school outside of just the, you know, 8-to-3 education kind of system, which is important. But I think that part is important too, what you're talking about.
Sure. So is that, you know, it seemed like in the past 3 years or so, it seems like there's been more activities, more events, the middle school drama, or, you know, so are those kind of generated because of some of these goals?
Yeah, I mean, definitely, you know, you see some of the things with, like, different student appreciation events, and we've offered students some, like, pack the bus events to go travel, you know, to different away games and things like that. Also providing...
I think you have one of those coming up Saturday, don't you, for the swim?
Yeah, potentially. I think maybe. Yeah, Saturday. Swim or bowling? I'm not 100%.
Yeah, I think it's bowling. Yeah. I believe you're right. Yeah.
So, just, yeah, different things like that. You know, I'm definitely... I think it's getting more in the conversation at, like, the district level. I think it's always been kind of a thing, but I think it's been a thing that is just kind of a byproduct. It's just kind of, we kind of let happen, you know, and I think we're starting to be a little bit more intentional about how can we create or maximize an opportunity for our students to be involved, or try to push them involved, or provide another opportunity that didn't exist previously to kind of be involved and do some of that stuff, if that makes sense.
And I think a lot of that is because you've hired the right people that want, are very happy to jump in and direct a play or do something like that, produce, encourage creativity in the kids and participation, that type of thing. I think you've hired a lot of the really right people to do things like that.
Yeah.
And that's a big deal.
Yeah.
Because if you don't have to take a stick and beat them and tell them they have to go do this. They're probably taking a stick and beating you, saying, we're going to do this. I don't care what it takes.
Yeah.
You're going to have to accommodate.
That is actually a really, not just specifically with that, but just having people that have ideas and are passionate and intelligent and come to you, and you can see it in their eyes. They're like, man, this is what I really want to do. And I'm like, hey, this is, yeah, you don't have to convince me too hard to say yes on a lot of that. And that's a really rewarding part, not just in the student engagement stuff, but other things in the district. It's just a rewarding part of the job that I really, really like. So, yeah, that does make a difference. I agree.
Yeah. And then one of the goals you talked about was the fiscal accountability piece. And you know, one of the sub-goals, I guess, was tied to the results of a facilities assessment.
Yeah. So I think that's actually one of the things. We started this probably about a year ago. I think when I was back on here in the fall, I don't know, August, maybe September.
Yeah.
We were just getting that back and just starting to go through some of that. So yeah, one of the goals we kind of thought, you know, going into the fall this year, that we knew that this was going to be a thing, that we were going to have access to this information. And, you know, we moving into the next, you know, 5-10 years, you know, that report is going to tell us, you know, hey, there's likely going to be a chance you're going to need to replace this roof, or this building's HVAC system is going to need to be replaced likely in the next, you know, 10 years, 15 years, whatever it may be.
Yeah.
And so one of the goals is to make sure that, you know, those things that we're discovering are at least up to 80% funded by the end of this culture commitment guide cycle, which is 2027, if that makes sense.
2027.
So that's kind of the plan. So obviously there's a lot of variables in that, right? And you know, Jack, being on the school board, there's a 5-year forecast. You go through these things twice a year. Yep. And so you try to budget as best you can. But that's kind of why we wanted to put it in our goals. So you know, when those bills come due and those things start breaking, that, you know, we'll be able to minimally, you know, not disrupt educational, you know, the setting, and be able to fix those things and move on with, you know, successful operation of the district.
And another piece of that was kind of accounting for the transportation cost.
Sure, absolutely. Yep, school buses would be a part of that, and that's kind of part of that sub-goal too, having like a fleet management plan. We actually just bought another, like a 10-passenger van for the district, so that was kind of part of that in terms of making sure that we have, you know, reliable, safe transportation for all the extra you know, opportunities that we want to provide for students. So it all kind of ties together.
Very good. I'll tell you what, we're going to take a real quick break and come back and talk a little bit more about the culture and climate playbook. Ah, dang, I screwed that up. Wait, let me. Culture and commitment guide.
Perfect. Screwed that up. Well, that's your first mistake ever, at least this year.
Yeah. So. That's not bad. Yeah.
So we'll be back right after this.
Klingtern & Sons Trucking Incorporated is a family-owned and operated business in Burkittsville. They have over 50 years of experience, and they pride themselves on their commitment to punctual transportation and exceptional customer service. They offer local and long-haul transportation. They have dump trucks, stone slingers, flatbeds, vans, and refrigerated trailers. They have great employment opportunities as well. Visit their website at klingternandsons.com or call them at 937-338-5000. Call Klingtern & Sons Trucking for all your transportation needs.
It's time for year-end savings at Hall Brothers in Fort Recovery. Enjoy 15% off all Case IH filters, keeping your equipment running smoothly into the new year. Don't wait until open house to save big. Stock up now and ensure your farm is ready for every challenge ahead. But hurry, these savings won't last. This is a limited time offer. Hall Brothers in Fort Recovery, your local Case IH dealer, where savings and service come together. Case IH filters, keeping you on track for success.
Everybody has that hard-to-buy-for person on their Christmas list, and Miracle Lanes has just what you need to solve that problem for you. Miracle Lanes gift cards. You can get them from $5 up to $500, and they can be used for anything they sell at Miracle Lanes. Bowling equipment and games, food, drinks, anything they offer at Miracle Lanes. Don't spend your time looking online or in the stores for something they don't want. Just head out to Miracle Lanes and get your Christmas shopping done fast and easy, and they'll love you for it. Miracle Lanes gift cards, the best Christmas gift you can give them. Here are the basketball broadcasts coming up the rest of this week on Fort Recovery Radio. Tomorrow evening, the Lady Indians will host New Bremen and will simulcast WPTW's coverage of the varsity game, and their audio will also be on the NFHS video, and the huddle video will also be available. Friday, the boys will travel to New Bremen, and the JV game will start at 5 o'clock. Fort Recovery Radio will broadcast the varsity game, and the huddle video will be available. No basketball games on Saturday, so head out to the Community Club's annual fish fry from 4 to 7 on Saturday evening at the Progressive Sportsman's Club on St. Peter Road. Get out to these games this weekend to help cheer on our Indians team. But if you just can't get to the games, you can always listen live right here on Fort Recovery Radio, the home of the Indians.
Now you're back.
Let me know.
Now you're back.
Oh, we're back.
I was pointing at you,
Jack. We're talking to Tony Stahl, superintendent of Fort Recovery Local Schools, and we're talking about the culture and commitment guide that they worked to create. And again, this, I guess, like Neil said, this isn't necessarily a creation; it's an update to a certain extent.
Sure,
right. And so as like you look at the. At this plan, you know, from a business sense, you know, they do like a SWOT type of an analysis, okay. Where it's the strengths and the weaknesses. So what threats do you see that could throw a monkey wrench into this?
I think that one of the big things in maybe not going to disrupt, but I think a disruptor out there, maybe in a good way, maybe in a bad way, but is like the artificial intelligence. I don't know if it'll necessarily throw a wrench in some of this, but I think it could add a component to it. You know, there's really nothing in here about technology and incorporating technology. I mean, there's a lot of focus on climate and culture, academic achievement, fiscal accountability, but, you know, in terms of technology usage or moving into the... We're in the 21st century, but 21st century deep into the 21st century, you know, yeah. However you want to look at that, that could be a thing that we maybe need to put more emphasis on. You know what I mean? If that makes any sense. So I'm not saying that's necessarily a threat. I think there's a lot of good things about it and it's progress. But I think certainly that's an area that has not been touched on here that could certainly, you know, be a factor moving forward in 2030.
You know, and that's one of those areas where if kids get to it first and are utilizing it before school has had time to really establish the policies or the practices on what they're going to...
Sure.
Yeah.
That means fast. It means fast, right?
The updates. It's changing so quickly.
I mean, almost day to day, you know, week to week, hour to hour. I mean, there's something new out there. So I think that's an area in the future that we would probably, as a district, to get our kids, and not that we don't have technology, we're 1-to-1 in mostly all the grades and stuff like that, but I think it would definitely be an area that is not reflected in terms of priority on this paper that we're talking about, you know. Yeah. So the other thing I think, too, that's interesting is, you know, academic achievement kind of falls under this, is like high schools today are, and I think I've talked about this on the show, there's a lot of options for kids from CC Plus off campus to internships. You know, I think since COVID too, like homeschooling and the ability to take online classes and even colleges kind of, you know, all the number of kids that used to have to go to maybe like a Wright State but now can take it online, you know, just so much things getting plugged into the high school that, you know, I think that there's not as many kids walking the hallway on a day-to-day basis because they're out doing all those other things. And all those other things are great. But, you know, it definitely, you know, the school traditional brick and mortar feel of 10, 15 years ago, I think is a little bit different. And I think a lot of administrators around the state and for sure the county that I talk to would tell you that's a little bit different. So I'm not sure if that's a threat because I certainly think it's our kids getting placed in things that they need to do, but it's certainly going to require us to think a little bit differently about how we maybe educate and maybe move our staff to do some of those things, if that makes any sense.
And this is off the subject a bit, but again, it kind of falls in that threat opportunity thing. You know, with talk about the new administration at the federal level, making changes to the Department of Education.
Sure.
Is so as a superintendent, when like you hear that, are there a couple of flags that you worry about when it comes to that?
Yeah, I mean, that's always kind of been, you know, and I'm not sure I would classify this as like a threat, but it's always kind of a moving target, right? You know, the report card standards change, you know, your Title III reading requirements have to change and you have to do it a certain way now. So there's, you know, whether it's coming from Columbus or DC, there's always kind of a new thing that is kind of trickling its way down that schools are kind of having to adjust to. So I think that's certainly maybe not a threat because it's what we have to do and we do it, but it definitely keeps us nimble, keeps us reading. We got to stay plugged into a lot of that stuff. But to answer your question, maybe a little bit more specifically about, you know, with Trump coming in and kind of changing the Department of Education potentially, you know, a lot of that stuff, I'm a big local control guy. And so if it pushes it down, you know, hey, the federal government's not going to be making these decisions. The state government's going to be making those decisions. You know, to me, that is a little bit more comfortable because, you know, now there's only 600 districts in the state of Ohio. And now, you know, our voice for recovery local schools gets a little bit louder than just the federal level. So that, you know, and then usually Columbus will say, all right, we're not going to make this decision. We'll let your local school boards. And now, you know, our voice is really loud and I got 5 school board members that I got to talk to. So generally speaking, that's kind of how I like that structure to work. It just gives us a little bit more in our community, a little bit more local control. So maybe that's a positive thing that maybe is going to happen to this, but you know, time will tell with the government period. So,
That may or may not happen, but it's
sure.
It is interesting.
It is interesting.
And it's something that, that, you know, you have to keep in the back of your mind.
Yeah, and that's, we were talking about that at a superintendent meeting. This has been a couple of weeks ago, maybe before break a month ago, but it was about like Title I reading funds. That's like a federal dollars for those programs. You know, if those go away, that's like, I don't know, Deanna's going to be mad, but it's like 50 or 60,000, I think, for our district. Yeah. I don't know the exact number on that. She would. But right around that. So that's money that, you know, is not in our district anymore. And, you know, could that offset some things? It's not a huge amount in the big scheme of our budget. But
it could be funnel through Columbus, possibly. Yeah, you don't know what they'll do with it.
Yeah, so now all of a sudden to get that money, you got to do something a little bit different. And so that, you know, things like that definitely don't necessarily worry me, but we're definitely keeping an eye on it. So.
Yeah. As you talk about the culture and climate piece of it, is there a piece of this that is designed both for the students and for the teachers?
Yeah, I think it's definitely designed for everybody in the district, I think. You know, obviously the academic piece, but just to give you kind of an example, academic piece, obviously have it being a five-star school, but we've also, as a district, have allocated a lot of money, you know, over, I think it's over $300,000 now the last 4 years or so for curriculum adoption and like bringing in the Educational Service Center people over the summer to work, their personnel to work with our staff to kind of help them develop and work with the new curriculum that we want to implement to hopefully make them a little bit more effective and to help our kids achieve a little bit higher. So like, there's definitely some components of that plan, and we've put, you know, district resources behind that for teachers, as well as obviously students who are going to benefit from that work. But also from the climate and commitment standpoint, one of the things that we've focused on is having a common language, particularly at least in the building level, right? We have to kind of two campuses, so they function similarly, but, you know, they're separated. And sure. So they, you know, there's a lot of differences there too. So one of the things that was brought up in this process is having like defined language for how we do our character development. And so we want to be a little bit consistent, right? If they're saying, teaching kids about, you know, perseverance, which is the EMS building word of the month now, the whole building, right? Perseverance. You know, we want it to be a little bit different from a first grader to a fifth grader.
Sure.
You know, but we also want the theme to kind of be the same. And so one of the things that they've worked on and we've purchased has been like this program Character Strong that kind of helps provide that language, give teachers lessons plans. We do monthly assemblies with our students to kind of reinforce some of this stuff. So it's definitely given the teachers some tools to kind of help them, whether it's academic or with, like I said, the Character Strong to help with some of that climate and culture piece, give them some tools and resources to do it. And then obviously impacting the students as well, kind of as the end result, if that makes any sense. Yep. So
from a culture standpoint, is there a piece of this that is, we want to be a great place for teachers to work so that we get the best qualified teachers?
Yeah, I think our one of the things that we have in our VBO is we want to learn together and achieve together. And that is, you know, whether that is seeing somebody who's a teacher in our building go get their counselor degree and maybe go be a counselor at a different school. Yep. But that's what they want to do, and that's what they've learned and, you know, have trained and taken the schooling and worked hard and maybe taken on a little bit more on their plate in our district and helped us out for a while, then move, you know, so that's that, I think. And if you truly, you know, believe that, I think you got to walk the walk and talk the talk. And when people want to do that, it's like, yeah, it's frustrating that they might go serve somewhere else because we didn't have an opportunity for them here. Yeah. But that person really did get better. And, you know, that rising tide kind of lifts all boats kind of theory. So whether it's that kind of situation or whether it's a student helping them, you know, get into a college or get a PR on the cross country, you know, whether it's a coach working on a PR on the cross country course, all of those things we like to, you know, learn together, maximize opportunities are two of our big, you know, beliefs that we like to say. So I think, I think that's all part of it. Yeah. We like to see it both for our staff and our students.
And I think you kind of touched on it earlier that you said we're a destination school. So if somebody does go, as your example, get a degree in counseling and go somewhere else,
sure,
we're not going to struggle to get a really good person to fill that spot, because people want to be here, not just here, basically this whole area. Mm-hmm. But that helps when people will knock each other out of the way to get to this area.
You know, and I would have a hard problem sleeping at night if I was telling everybody, well, you got to be a little bit better tomorrow than you were today. And if that didn't apply to, like I said earlier, your personal life, your school life, your professional life, like that's a good place to be at. And, you know, sometimes that involves some things that are maybe bad for the district by losing a personnel, as that example. But you're right. I think if you got a place where people are helping you on that, then somebody else is going to want to come in pretty dang quick.
And so you get the choicest of the choice, or the best of the best.
A couple of decades ago, whenever we'd have a teacher opening, there'd be 150 different applications for it.
Yeah.
What's the process now? I mean, if we have an opening, I mean, I'm sure it's less than what it used to be.
Yeah, for sure. I still think, it really depends. It really depends. It's getting a little bit more, I think, like you said, 15 years ago, 2 decades ago, a decade ago, you know, you could have, even for like a high school job, like a high school history job, 30 to 50 people apply. And, let alone an elementary job. Those were always really big, right? And so I think that's what you were seeing in the high school is maybe what the elementary was. And, maybe those specialized high school classes, like what Nina Faller teaches for us, like our chemistry and those kinds of things. That can be tough. We're very fortunate to have, especially like Spanish, Julie Slater does a great job. I mean, we have those, kind of niche things that are a little bit harder to find, especially in a rural area. We're very, very lucky and blessed to have great staff in there, but those can be challenging for sure. But we have not been in a spot where it was like, oh man, you know what I mean? We've always had some choices, which is good, but it's not 50, it might be half a dozen applicants or something like that for those jobs, but it's definitely different.
Well, you haven't called Rocker yet to fill in.
So. We haven't yet, but Rock, but you never know.
He could be a good, do you have a trivia class?
We would have a group of kids that would love to do some trivia, probably. I'm sure we could find a group for you to work with.
So, I'll tell you what, we're going to take a break and we're going to come back and touch on a couple of things that are not culture or climate related. So we'll be back right after this.
There's one guarantee in business, and that is that you can never predict the future. Hi, I'm Amanda Segrist with Fort Recovery Insurance. Lots of unpredictable things happen in business. The economy might take a U-turn, or that guy from down the road might take a U-turn into your front door. From a commercial insurance package to a commercial umbrella policy, we can make sure you are covered for the unpredictable. We are your local agent for Ohio Mutual Insurance Group. Visit us at www.fortrecoveryinsurance.com.
You can't predict the future. Well, except that Ohio weather is unpredictable, and sometime in the future, you will lose power. Of course, with a Generac automatic standby generator from Reasoner Energy, you're covered. And for added predictability, now through October 8th, get a free 10-year warranty with your purchase of a Generac automatic standby generator. That's a $1,035 value. Terms and conditions apply. A predictable future is in your hands. Call for details, Reasoner Energy, 419-678-4858.
Be sure to stop in to Wayne IGA and check out the new items in their Grab and Go cooler. They have a nice variety of fresh store-made salads and desserts, freshly cut fruit bowls, several varieties of store-made footlong subs, and now they also have some great ready-to-heat-and-eat meals like beef stir-fry, stuffed peppers, ravioli, meatloaf, chicken alfredo, and lots more. They also have containers of their store-made cooked beef, pork, and cream chicken. Check it out the next time you're there and stock up on your favorites. There's a different variety of grab-and-go meals every day. Grab-and-go at Wayne IGA, your best friend on a busy night.
Tired of your old clunker? Wishing for a brand new truck, a Polaris Ranger, or maybe even a luxury pontoon boat? Well, stop daydreaming and start winning at the Win on the Wabash Super Raffle. That's right, folks. You can could win one of 356 incredible prizes, including cold hard cash, top-of-the-line firearms, or even a surprise vehicle. Tickets are just $100 and include entry into both the Friday Night Tow and Go Raffle and the Saturday Super Raffle, plus a weekend wristband into the event. That means live music, delicious food, and more chances to win. Don't miss your chance to win big and give back to the community. Head to wowraffle.com to snag your tickets before they're gone. That's wowraffle.com. You could be the next big winner at the Win on the Wabash.
We're back.
Yes, we are.
First insight of the year, and we're talking to Mr. Tony Stahl about pretty much all things Fort Recovery Schools related. And we just covered the culture and commitment guide development and update that's taken place. And again, if you want to take a look at that, go on the Fort Recovery Schools website and... Tony, how do you get to it? Click on what?
District. There's a district tab for district information in the top left corner. If you click on that, it'll give you some options. Scroll down towards the bottom of those options, and it'll
be right
there.
Fantastic. And it is an easy read, and I think you'll learn some stuff about your school district. So Tony, let's talk about some other things and that are going on in the district. I know there's some... maybe deadlines and things that you want to touch on, so...
Yeah, well, we have a couple things coming up. We actually have... there'll be a district pep rally coming up on February 7th, which will be nice to get the little kids over in the... weather permitting, that's obviously logistic. Yeah. It can be challenging, but... so that's coming up. And then at the end of January, we have Carson Hinsman, Ohio State Buckeye Center, coming to talk to the... I think it's 6th through 12th grade towards the end of January. So we're hoping he's a national champion at that point to come talk to the Sisafi. So that's exciting. So just a couple things kind of coming up. And then we also have preschool registration and kindergarten registration. That'll be coming soon. So if there's anybody out there that, you know, is having questions about when do I got to register my kid or those kinds of things, the next Fortside Journal, which I think goes out and at the end of this week, we'll have some information, and then on the website. So if you have those questions, you can definitely go there and check it out. But that's coming soon.
So the preschool registration is for kids ages what?
If you turn five, I should have wrote it down. Turn five by August 1st, maybe, is what it is. I'd have to check that, but don't quote me on that if you're listening out there. Wait till you get the Fortside Journal article. But, so just we like to kind of get those numbers as best we can. It helps a little bit early to kind of start planning, and it won't be maybe for another month by the time we get them all in and get them kind of calculated. But it helps with kind of that, you know, staffing for next year and moving, looking in the future, stat numbers like that. So, yeah.
And then... one of the other topics is career speakers. We talked to Mr. I think it's Reichert, right?
Yeah, I think Brian Reichert was on maybe a couple months ago.
Yeah.
So we're always looking. So if you're out there listening and you have, you work an interesting career, it doesn't even have to be interesting. If you have a career and you're interested in getting up in front of a group of high school kids to talk about that career, talk a little bit about how you got there, your schooling, training, those kinds of things, skill sets maybe that your mindsets that you have to have for those, and answer some questions, we would love to have you. You know, I think we've had, engineers on, sheriff's deputies, healthcare professionals. So we're always looking to kind of just showcase what is in the local area and what some of our people do. So if you're interested in that at all, it is very low key. It's, you know, it's a lunch and learn session for about a half hour. So if you're interested, email somebody at the school. You can get a hold of Mrs. Wenning, me, Brian Reichert, somebody, and we'll get you in touch and kind of set you up. So we're always looking for people.
So that's probably, let me just jump in here real quick. And I was thinking that it might be one of those things that are the ones you talked about are ones that people kind of know about and might be, you know, a lot of kids want to be a policeman. A lot of people are interested in engineering. But I'm sure if somebody that's just quote unquote, just a factory worker can come in and say, this is what I needed to do. It's really difficult, or it's not really difficult. This is what you do to get a job like me, and I can have a nice house and a nice car.
That's one of the things we take some of our middle school students, seventh grade, I think, around to three different local factory businesses. It's amazing what we manufacture around this area.
Yes,
it's truly amazing where that stuff goes and what it's in and part of. And I would agree. So anything across the board, we're always interested.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be one of the upper level things. It can be just I grow turkeys, you know, and this is what's involved. And it's kind of hard, but kind of easy, but it's every day and you can make some money.
Yep.
You know, that there's all kinds of things like that that aren't the big time things that people always think of, nurses and engineers and policemen, which is what every fireman that everybody wants to be when they grow up.
Yeah, some of this stuff we're starting to kind of hopefully kind of bleed over into our classes. Like right now, it's kind of part of a career exploration class that's just, it's not really new anymore. We've been doing it a couple of years, but trying to get some of that stuff into the class. So like, as an example, we've worked with Road State to kind of have ag commodity testing, and so have some of their trainers come down and work with our students to get like a certification for Ohio ag commodity testing, so they like can kind of work on obviously testing moisture in the soybeans and giving it a rating, and so they know how much it can cost and stuff and what they need to pay out. But so stuff like that, and then also drones. We're going to kind of dabble in some drones this spring from an agricultural standpoint. Again, that's a little bit of a partnership with Road State, so kind of getting some of that career stuff into the classroom, and it's not necessarily 4-year degree stuff either.
So that led me to think a little bit about the TriStar programs and such. As a superintendent of a local school, what involvement or input do you have with the TriStar program? I mean, is there any time when like TriStar meets with all the local superintendents?
Yeah, we do. We do meet once. It's probably not once a month. It's probably about once every 2 months, something like that. Maybe once a quarter. It's probably a little bit more than once a quarter. Where all the superintendents get together. It's kind of like an update. You know, Tim Buescher right now, TriStar director, does a great job, and they actually got Paula Van Tilburg, I think is their new name, replaced Stetler, their Brian Stetler over there. So they got a good faculty, good staff, and a good administration. So yeah, they meet with us periodically, and it's more kind of like an update. There's a advisory board member, Rick Kramer, is our kind of guy. You know, he's our guy from our district that goes there and sits on that. So they have an oversight board there. Obviously, they're tied to Salina a little bit with some of their board administrative oversight, and then there's a group of superintendents that are involved. So there's a lot of different groups kind of factoring in and feeding into that. But yeah, we get a monthly update, usually a weekly update with an email schedule, and then we meet once every 2 months, something like that.
So as a local superintendent, do you see like the popularity of TriStar being a challenge at the local school level?
Yeah, I mean, you know, so like, I think we're fortunate. I think the short answer is no. I think it's a good partnership. I think, you know, us, and not just obviously just speaking for Fort Recovery, but I think generally all the TriStar schools would say the same thing. It's a good opportunity for our students because it does blend kind of the homeschool district and then a little bit of that at career tech at a career tech center like a TriStar. But that's not always the case. You know, there's schools that send their students there all day and they get all their classes there. And so that kid, you know, maybe just to get used, Fort Recovery as an example, is a Fort Recovery high school student, but maybe doesn't ever set foot inside the high school, goes and takes their classes at like a Vantage Career Center or Miami Valley Career Center, something like that, and is there all day, you know? And so those students, when they get to high school, they might never see each other. And so it at least blends that model a little bit. And so, you know, our kids are at least for a couple of periods a day in our high school, and then they go there and do their separate thing. So it is a good mix. It's a good, and it's unique. There's not many of them. There's only three ways. I'm going to butcher this. I'm wading into something I probably shouldn't talk about, but there's three ways to do that career tech, and the compact version, TriStar Career Compact. I think there's like just a handful of those in the district or in the state. The way we do it, it's usually kind of an all or nothing model, and the way we do it with the compact is pretty unique. And I think it says a lot about our area in the Mercer County and surrounding counties that we can do that. And there's not a lot, it's pretty smooth. You know, we all get along, we all have kind of same values, same vision, and things go pretty well. And that's not the case, I think, around the state. Let's put it that way.
Another off the subject type question. Okay, so Fort Recovery, St. Henry, Marion all had school last Thursday and Friday.
Okay, yeah.
Okay. Where, like, Salina Coldwater and those schools didn't. Was there something schedule-wise that you made that happen?
It's the 119 Alliance. No.
NATO.
Yeah. It's like kind of a Southern Mercer County NATO, right? No, that's purely, when we pull that schedule, that's one of the tasks of the district leadership team each year. It's because, you know, Christmas falls on a different day, you know, and you have, we always keep, at least since I've been here, the student days the same. You know what I mean? We the community, I think, expects a certain amount of student days. And, you know, so that's what we try to accommodate, right? We're a service, and that's our service we provide. And so we, you know, okay, you got 177 days. Where do we fit those on the calendar? And so, you know, we went that day. They probably, you know, maybe went, they started school on a Tuesday. We started on a Wednesday, something like that. Would be my guess without looking at their calendars. But yeah, kind of, I would say not quite arbitrary, but relatively arbitrary. Yeah.
And there's a requirement as far as the number of days kids have to be in school.
Yeah, it's actually switched to hours now. They do it as an hours. They kind of changed some attendance laws with that. And so therefore it kind of switched to hours. So it's like, it's different if you're a high school kid versus like a middle school kid versus elementary kid. It's obviously, it's kind of, the numbers are a little bit more and then less as you get older. But we're over that threshold by a significant amount. And so that's where even the idea of like five calamity days, the state doesn't, that's not really a thing. You know, it's hours, you know what I mean? So, but that's how with our teachers' contracts, we write it. And that's, it's easy for parents to know 5 days, 4 days, 1 day versus, well, Fort Recovery Schools has missed 36.2 hours. You know what I mean? Yeah. And parents are just, you know, I don't know what that means. I don't care about that. So we do track that stuff though. We have thresholds that we need to meet. So even 2 hour delays, we count towards some of that. But,
and then when is the, when's the next teacher contract up? Or when is the current teacher contract up?
We just did that last spring.
Okay.
So that was last spring. So that we got another 3 years. So this is year one.
And that's 3 years?
Yep. This is year one of that. So 2027-ish sometime.
So it's nice to not have to worry about that for the next couple of years.
Yeah, that'll be one thing, especially year one last year. That's a lot. That's a lot of stuff. You've been a part of it as a school board member. There's just a lot of different components and pieces and things. And it was a challenging thing last year as a new superintendent, kind of, you know, baptism through fire with that a little bit. So it'll be nice to have not as busy of a spring maybe with that. But
without that.
So where approximately in the area or in the state are our teacher salaries? About the middle, real low, real high?
Yeah, I'd say we're probably mid to upper. I mean, we're definitely not the highest. I mean, you definitely look at the local areas and kind of compare some of those things, but we're definitely very competitive, I think, from...
Probably mid to upper in the area.
And then you go across the state, you know, there's big districts, there's small districts, that number gets kind of...
Well, districts where the cost of living is outrageous, the teacher salary probably has to be outrageous, too.
Sure.
And they all end up about the same. They get 10% of their money that they're able to put into savings and retirement, and it all ends up, the numbers change, but you know, if you're able to put some money away, you're able to put some money away, and if you're housing, this nice house costs $2,000 a month, and the same house in another district costs $3,000 a month, the salaries kind of probably have to be,
and I think that you're right. That's interesting because it's like from every, you know, different region in the state is a little bit different. But yeah, for our rural area, definitely competitive. But I think one of the things that's interesting is I saw today, actually kind of prepping for this, I was going through our state report card, just kind of getting some things in my head. And one of the things I found that I thought was really interesting was the percentage of funds that are spent on classroom instruction. So for our district, it's 72.3%. So you're talking all, you know, $3 out of every $4, right, spent in the district is spent towards classroom instruction. So if you take 186 schools that are classified as similar to us, which have an ADM, basically an enrollment of 1,000 or less, 183 schools like us in the state, we are fourth in terms of having the highest percentage spent on classroom instruction. Really? So there's three schools. I don't know who those three schools. That's going to be something I'm going to look up tomorrow. are. There's three schools are higher than us, but we are number 4 out of 186 in terms of the high percentage spending on the classroom instruction. So that is good to hear. You know, we're putting the money where it needs to be. So,
and we're solvent.
Yeah.
I mean, you can do that, but you can be struggling for money for buses and keeping the lights on and repairing stuff. Sure. We're not experiencing those problems.
Sure.
And are still up there pretty good.
Yep.
That's great.
Yep.
So I'll tell you what, let's take one more break, come back and see if Tony's got anything else, and then we'll do Rocker.
That sounds good. What you got, Rocker?
Yeah.
Oh. This damn pop culture.
All right. Fantastic. I think there's
we'll
a biggie.
Be back.
Big birthday. This.
Yep.
Boars Welding and Steel in Fort Recovery has 35 years of business experience with over 150 years of welding experience. From lawnmowers to semis, bring it to Boars, or Steve can send a mobile rig to you. If it can be welded, Boars Welding and Steel can do it. Need something made and fabricated? It's their specialty. Call Renee today at 419-375-4087. Boars Welding and Steel, 2 miles north of Fort Recovery on State Route 49, or call Steve for a quick quote at 419-375-4087.
Hello, this is Trevor Winning, owner of Top Ranch LLC, former Hastings Automotive. I want to thank the community for the warm welcome back to town. I plan to keep the Hastings quality of service along with their previous employees. With the cold weather here, don't forget to have your car winterized. This includes testing your battery, checking the fluids, and testing your coolant. We will check your brakes, tires, belts, wipers, hoses, and all the lights for your worry-free winter travels. Give Top Ranch LLC a call at 419-375-4617 for all your automotive needs.
Hi, this is Chad Guggenbiller with CSG Consulting, Finance, and Brokerage in Fort Recovery. Business owners and farmers, are you concerned with the economy and where things might be headed? That's why it's important to be thinking about your 2024 and 2025 operating monies. Come see our newest addition, my son Tyler and I, for the best value in the market. Because operating costs affect you every day, and it's nice to have a friend helping you navigate those current market challenges. See us for a free review. CSG Consulting, your partner in planning and the fundamental things. 419-852-4049.
The Wendelin Sports Club is having their winter barbecue chicken dinner on Sunday, January 26th. Tickets are only $10 each, pre-sale only, and you can dine in or carry out. Serving will be from 4 to 6 p.m. Call 419-852-5918 or 419-375-4562 for tickets. Don't miss Wendelin Sports Club's winter barbecue chicken dinner coming up on January 26th with serving from 4 to 6 p.m.
We're back. Insight, and we just had a fantastic talk with Mr. Tony Stahl. Tony, is there anything we didn't cover that you would like to touch on?
One thing I will say, just from a schedule, putting it out there, we do have two boys basketball free admission games coming up. So we have on, I think it's January 14th, and then also on January 17th. So I think the 14th, I think that's a Tuesday.
Tuesday, St. Henry.
St. Henry at home, right?
Yep.
And that's sponsored by the community club, so they're allowing students to get in free for that and kind of working with our
athletes. So when you say a free student admission.
Free student admission. Yeah, sorry, Jack. And then also same thing for the 17th, which I think is also home game, maybe Minster that night?
I believe so.
I
don't have that right.
So just parents out there listening, if you want your kid to see a game, doesn't see a lot of games, there's a couple of opportunities here coming up to get into the gate free.
And I'll tell you what, attendance has been pretty solid from the games I have gone to.
Well, they're giving away a lot of stuff for the kids and doing things and making it fun. Besides just getting into the game for free, there's been, I think, a couple of kids win a $50 merchant gift certificate and all kinds of T-shirts and this, that, and other
half
thing.
Court shot coming up at one of these games. Yep. I don't want to speak on behalf of Amy, but I think one of these has got a half court shot coming up for some prizes.
Plus, they're fun to watch too.
Yeah.
Which is cool.
So a couple fun things coming up in the district. So certainly, if you're out there, come on down, check out a game at the Fieldhouse. So
fantastic. And again, I would advise anybody, if they'd like to learn more about the culture and commitment guide, to get on the school's website, and it's pretty easy to find. If you go to the district tab, click on that, and you can't miss it.
Yep. So for recoverylocalschools.org, I think.
Correct. Yep.
Yep.
So Tony, are you going to stick around for Rocker?
Yeah, yeah. I'll hear what this happened in history, so appreciate it, guys.
Hello, Rocker.
Hi, Jack.
I missed you, sweetheart.
How can you miss him if he won't go away?
I know.
Well, there's been a lot of call for that, too, by the way.
I believe that.
I don't have a whole lot in life, but I got this at least.
All right.
that and you run the Brick Street Tavern.
Well, you know, that don't take a whole lot of county.
Grown out of,
well, I think it does.
Yeah.
On this day, January 7th, 1948, UFO causes a Air Force pilot to crash his plane, which led to rumors of him being abducted or a Soviet missile.
Oh.
Our first Soviet UFO sighting, apparently.
Yeah.
1948. I think it was, there was one before that, I would think. Did you have any, have you ever had any UFO sightings?
I am not supposed to disclose it.
Because it's a lie.
So I'm sorry, but I cannot talk about it.
Not at liberty to speak about it, huh?
So do you believe in them?
No, because I've you know, ever since the ET, I get a little Quincy.
Yep.
Okay. You're definitely seeing more of that with, like, Congress starting to have, testimony on it.
Yeah.
Well, there's a lot of conspiracy theories.
Like, what's going on?
And there's a lot of what I would call at least sort of prominent people that are at least thinking there's something going on. And the one thing that's almost certainly been proven is the government is covering up something, whether it's them with secret weapons or our enemies with secret weapons or actually outer space vehicles. They're covering something up, and people are don't care for that. They want to know what's going on.
Yep.
And sometimes not knowing the truth is probably, being naive is not a bad thing sometimes. That's,
I know.
One thing less to worry about. I ain't worrying about it.
Yep.
Jack,
that first one really took a long time.
Jack, do you remember the movie Fame?
Oh, yeah. Laurie Singer.
Very good.
Very good.
1982, Fame comes to TV.
Well, then.
Yep.
It lasted 4 seasons.
I'm going to live forever.
There you go, Jack.
Well, but they only lived 4 seasons.
What's that?
They only lived 4 seasons. They didn't live forever.
Pretty good.
Yeah, that's not bad.
And they had
Debbie
Allen?
Yeah.
I had to finish that for you, Mr. Know-It-All.
Well, you jumped in ahead of him.
But he was...
You interrupted him.
He was clueless at that point.
He was going to get it.
Go ahead. What instrument did Laurie Singer play?
I think she was a singer, wasn't she?
Cello. She played the cello.
There's always room for cello.
There's always room for cello.
January 8th, 1935.
How many years ago would that have been, Jack?
90.
I was going to ask Jack. 90. What do you think 90 is?
Tupelo, Mississippi. Ringing any bells or sunshine?
Tupelo?
I'm in love. I'm all shook up. Elvis Presley turned 90 today, or would have, to make banana and
Nanner and peanut butter sandwiches. Yeah.
What's your favorite Elvis song?
That one.
That one.
That and My Way. His version of My Way is pretty good.
I like Bubba's better.
Blue Christmas. But go ahead.
Oh.
Jailhouse Rock. Kentucky Rain.
Well,
Suspicious Minds.
Like I told Neil at lunch, I said, the man made 33 movies. Sadly, only 5 of them were worth watching.
So So what were one or two of those? Because I don't know that I've seen an Ellis movie.
Cousin. No, that's not one of them.
No. Oh.
The one
King Creole.
King Creole, okay.
The one Blue Hawaii, G.I. Blues, Change of Habit.
That's Mary Tyler Moore.
Yeah, that's the Mary Tyler Moore one. And then Taro was just the Western one.
He was in one with Anne Margaret, right?
Viva Las Vegas, yes. Very good, Jack.
Yeah. Good song, too.
Bernadette Peters.
Ooh, I don't remember that.
No, I don't remember that one either.
Could have been.
2004.
Wow, Jack. Threw him for a loop, didn't you?
The Apprentice debuts on NBC. What? You want to guess who the host of that was?
The Apprentice.
The Apprentice.
You want to guess who the host of that was?
Number 45.
Same guy as Shark Tank.
And right about now, you're fired.
Right about now.
The Citizen of the Day.
Oh, good.
I hope it's me again. It's
been a while since we had this little gimmick.
Yeah.
Pastor Brad Ratiff.
Oh, yep.
Very good.
And you guys, it was Mandy Gerlach's birthday today, too.
Yes, it is.
Happy birthday, Mandy.
She's 23.
We'll go with that. Sure.
Yep.
She has a 19-year-old, so probably 18.
Yeah.
So the math on that's not very good.
Yeah. Well, so I could be off a couple of years.
Celebrity birthday time, January 7th. Kenny Loggins, 77. It's hard to believe he's 77, ain't it?
Who?
Kenny Loggins.
Are you still with us, Jack?
Yeah.
I'm cutting foot loose.
Very good, Jack.
Thank you very much.
Dave Caruso, 69.
Well, is that really? Famous opera singer?
No.
He was an actor on a cop show.
Oh. Two cop shows, actually. If you count the one in the Miami cop show.
Miami Vice? That's only Miami one I know.
No, CSI Miami.
Oh.
What was his first one?
The NYPD Blue, which he left after one season.
Because he was terrible?
No,
fired him.
They shot him.
One of your favorite crushes has turned 68 today.
Barry Manilow?
Well,
he's a little older than that.
Yeah, but that is one of your crushes.
Katie Couric turns 68.
Nah, I ain't a big Couric fan.
She always spoke highly of you.
Yeah, well, she should.
Probably should have.
One of our nation's greatest over actors, Nicolas Cage, turned 61 today.
Well. So you're calling him a hack?
No, he's an over actor.
Sounds like the same thing that I said.
Not quite.
Okay.
Jeremy Renner is 54.
Well, then. Do I know who that is? I've heard the name.
Another actor. Yep. British actor, actually.
Well, then.
Today, other than Elvis, we got Dame Shirley Bassey is 88.
Ooh, I didn't know she was a dame.
Yes.
Gold finger.
She did maybe three Bond theme songs. The only woman to do three Bond. And here's one for you. The Dating Game. Bob Eubanks turns 87 today.
Bob Eubanks.
Newlywed Game.
He did the Newlywed Game. Not the Dating Game.
I was close.
Well. He was one of my favorite hosts, though.
He was pretty cool and low-key. Yeah.
All of them are.
Still alive.
Is it?
Unlike Bob.
Bob.
Barker.
Oh.
Hard as a carp. Noah Cyrus, Miley's sister, is 24 today.
Noah is a sister?
Yes.
I'll be darned.
Yeah. Billy Ray didn't do too good there on that one.
Well, and Miley, it's not even her real name anyway.
No.
Isn't it?
No.
What's her real name?
Destiny.
Huh?
Destiny.
Miley is the kid's way of saying smiley because she was always smiling.
Gotcha.
Well, if Dolly Parton was your godmother, you would be smiling too.
Well, she would have been 4 when I was born, so she probably wouldn't have a chance to be my godmother.
I wish she was my godmother at least.
I wish she would too, was too, so you wouldn't complain about it all the time. You could just say, yes, that's what it is, instead of you're always mad about it. That's why you're always mad.
About
you
know, Dolly Parton?
Yeah. There are some people, and there's not very many of them, that have developed a reputation across the board that they would be beloved Americans,
yep.
And Dolly is one of them.
And the other one has his funeral stuff tomorrow. Jimmy Carter.
Well,
you didn't think he was a good person? Everybody, he wasn't a good president, but he was one of the best people.
You do
best citizens ever.
There are times when you can have the best of intentions. Okay.
Like the Israel and Egypt peace pact, in the Middle East.
Well, we won't get into that.
This somehow went south quick. So. But let me say this. If there is no Watergate, this is my theory. If there is no Watergate and Nixon fills out his term, there is no Jimmy Carter presidency.
Who would have come in after Nixon?
Ford.
Ford was only the Speaker of the House. He wasn't anything.
No, he was Vice President.
Well, but he was Vice President, but he wouldn't have been Vice President.
Well,
I guess yeah, maybe because Spiro Agnew got caught with his hand in the
cookie jar.
Yeah, but still, I don't think
Tony Stahl's already getting
Do you have any famous deaths that happened recently?
Famous deaths?
Yep, like Peter Yarrow of Paul and Mary.
Yeah, the last one left.
And there's another one he did that was a John Denver song. I'm leaving on a jet plane. Thanks, Mr. Stahl.
He also lost one of the Osmond brothers, too.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, he was one that I'd sort of heard his name before.
Horrible, I think.
Wayne.
Yeah, but they called him Orville.
Orville. What? Orville Osmond.
Okay, that might be a good time to land the plane.
Yeah, I guess it probably is. Leaving on a jet plane.
Hey, we have to stay tuned for sports talk.
Rocker.
B, do you have any special guests tonight?
Head coach of the basketball boys team.
Mr. Leverett's
going to
join the boys.
Be back in just a minute or two or three.